no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
This is Latin Radical with Warwick Fry in conjunction with Nimbin Community Radio 2 Nim FM. And today we're speaking with Stuart Monckton from the Green Left Weekly about Bolivia. And we have a special guest at the Latin America, Asia, Pacific Forum that's taking place in Melbourne on the between the 11th and the 14th of October. And one of the keynote speakers is Eva Bollinger. Can you tell us why is she the keynote speaker?
We're looking at over 30 participants from around the world, but certainly one of the biggest people at the forum is Eva Gollinger, who is a US Venezuelan lawyer and currently based in Venezuela. And she's particularly renowned for her role in exposing, in the first place, US intervention into Venezuela, which is now quite commonly known, but she actually was crucial to breaking a lot of that, and she's written two books to that effect: The Chavez Code, which broke a lot of this stuff, and also Chavez versus Bush. And what she did was, as well as get a whole lot of the documents of the CIA and other declassified documents from the US, which revealed that the CIA, at the very least, knew in advance that the coup against the elected government of Hugo Chavez in 2002 was coming. They knew days in advance, almost to the word, what was going to happen. The exact smoking gun that they were behind it, which is, I guess, the common sense view for most people in Latin America, hasn't come, but she actually says they knew more or less exactly what was going to happen. And when asked, actually, the position of the US government about why they didn't warn the Chavez government that a coup was going to come along the lines of exactly what happened, they said, oh, we don't interfere in other countries. and her, quite a crazy argument, and she actually has produced quite extensive evidence of funding from the US government to opposition groups inside Venezuela, and also that the fact that the funding to opposition groups dramatically increased after the coup. So the argument that, and to the groups that were responsible for the coup, once it became clear in the media at the time and the US government trying to pretend it wasn't a coup, and then when there was an uprising of the poor and the poor themselves overthrew the coup regime and Chavez was brought back in, then they had to report it was a coup. And it's quite clear that in the organizations like the USAID, which is directly organized and funded through the State Department, and also the National Endowment for Democracy, which pretends, has a pretext of being independent, but gets large amounts of its funding directly from the US Congress. And she has revealed the way that they are funding quite a large number of these opposition groups inside Venezuela.
And apparently she is doing the same thing, making sort of this kind of prophetic current events in Bolivia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in an article that we ran in the current edition of Green Left Weekly, Eva Gollinger, I mean, she starts by talking about the way that this funding from USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy is continuing in Venezuela. I mean, she points to about $12 million to, you know, particular opposition groups that often present themselves as human rights defenders or non-government organizations, but directly in the pay. And then she goes on to show that, in fact, same organizations like USAID are doing more or less exactly the same thing in Bolivia. And, of course, Bolivia is the site of a new left-wing government, the government of Evo Morales, the first indigenous president ever in Bolivia's history, despite the fact that, you know, 60% plus of this population are indigenous, and they're very poor, and they suffer extreme discrimination. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they couldn't even walk into the plaza, the main plaza in the cities. And this government has, you know, it's nationalized the gas, which was a key demand of social movements. It set up a new constituent assembly to refound the country, to include the indigenous people for the first time ever, started a land reform program. The sort of social missions that are famous in Venezuela are now being implemented with Venezuelan and Cuban assistance in Bolivia. And Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, has pointed out that Bolivia is on the verge of becoming the third country in the region to eradicate illiteracy. The first two, of course, being Cuba, which they did after their revolution, and the second being Venezuela, which was achieved as a result of Venezuela's social missions with Cuban assistance. So the same basic humanitarian principles are now being applied in Bolivia. And as many people, including Eva Gonja, have pointed out, that's not something that Washington can abide. Like, whereas, you know, they're used to their corporations controlling the wealth, they don't approve of it being spent on these things. And she has actually revealed, it's about to the tune of $13.3 million. USAID they've contracted a company called Castles and Associates inside Bolivia, and they are funding a wide range of groups, but in particular, groups that are involved in pretty much a current campaign today of destabilization against the Morales government, which tends to focus on the idea of either autonomy or separation, because...
I was in Bolivia in the 1980s, and there was a very strong right-wing stronghold in this city that's sort of outside the Altiplano, which is the high country, and in between the main area of Bolivia and Brazil, close to the border with Brazil. And this is where there used to be parades of paramilitaries and neo-Nazis, and actually old Nazis used to take refuge there in was it Santa Cruz, I think it was.
Santa Cruz.
And it was also the main staging point for the exportation of base cocaine to Colombia. So it's quite interesting. I suppose there's been a historical association with the presence of the CIA and drug trafficking. But because it is, I suppose, culturally different from the rest of Bolivia, it's actually in a flat, hot area, and it's very different from the Altiplano, where the high areas where the indigenous people live.
And that's, of course, and that's the social base that Morales has. Yeah. And, you know, they are the impoverished, and also those that have been faced genocide and extreme racial discrimination for, you know, well, 500 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, the problem is that east that you're talking about also is, you know, Santa Cruz being its sort of main base. Is where large amounts of the gas and natural resources are.
Okay.
So there's a... So, I mean, that sort of, you know, that underpins it. And you can sort of see from the position of the US government why it'd be valuable to promote this.
Mm.
But one of the interesting things also is that the current US ambassador to Bolivia, it's a man by the name of Philip Goldberg, and he was the ambassador to, the former Yugoslavia during the period in which... they had the division.
The master of wedge politics.
exactly. So, and this is the fund. This is where the funding is going, and this is what Eva Gollinger has exposed. The funding is going to these groups, and they are running a campaign now that does seem to be escalating, which has involved them. You mentioned some Nazi groups. It really is sort of. There's a lot of fascist youth groups, based in the east, based in places like Santa Cruz, and also Sucre, which is. It's sort of based in the east, or in the sort of a center department.
That surprises me, actually. I'd visited it once, and it was a little bit more remote from the rest of Bolivia, even though it was quite a large city, and it was officially the center of government. I'm surprised to hear that.
They're to make Sucre the capital, which is dominating a lot of the debates around the constituent assembly, which has been convoked, and but that's seen as an attempt to take power away from the West and take power away from La Paz, which is the political capital of the country. So there's that's sort of one of the key debates happening. But one of the things that there's been statements that have come out. The Australia-Venezuela Solidarity Network's released statements, and Hugo Chavez has went on his television program, Alo Presidente, on September 10 with Morales, Evo Morales, by his side. And he warned that, he said that, and this is more or less what Gollinger has revealed, but a lot of people are warning about it, is that he said that basically what they did to Venezuela, the kind of destabilization from the groups that were funded from the U.S. in Venezuela, which led to the coup and then led to the bosses' strike a few months later in 2002, presented themselves as Democrats, presented themselves, but were really funded by big business and from the U.S., launched so-called strikes, which were often just bosses' lockouts, and all the rest of it, and mobilized a middle class fed on just propaganda that the government was communist, all the rest of it. And that was the circumstances that led into the military coup in Venezuela. And Chavez said these same circumstances are now playing out in Bolivia. And he said the U.S. are trying to overthrow the Morales government. They're trying to do what they did inside Venezuela, and they have a plan. And he, you know, also said, particularly important, and as far as I know, it's the only government in Latin America that has actually, well, in South America at least, that has actually spoken out and said that, you know, Venezuela offers its solidarity to Bolivia, and also said if there's any direct attack by the U.S. in any country in Latin America, then the response will be, you know, he invoked the spirit of Che Guevara and said, well, the response will be, you know, 1, 2, 3. You know, I think he counted all the way up to 10.
10 Vietnams, yeah. I've just been watching the motorcycle diary, Stuart, so that's an inspiring thought.
So that's the circumstance. And in Bolivia, we're seeing, it really is a debate over the Constituent Assembly, which has been tasked with it's been elected by the population. This was a demand, like the nationalization of gas, which the Morales government has carried out. It was a demand of the mass movement. So.
The Morales government actually got into power on a mass movement in Cochabamba, I think, where previous government succeeded in privatizing the water distribution to a California firm, Bechtel, I think. And that is what actually, you know, created the surge, if you like, that brought him to power. That the people and I know Bolivia is a very grassroots based.
But it grew from that as well, because that campaign was ultimately successful, like the campaign by the social movements, and it was very militant. I mean, they blockaded roads, they, you know, would take over whole areas, all the rest of it. And finally, it was one of the things that happened in the early stages of the Morales government was finally Bechtel left Bolivia. But it then grew to, in 2003, it grew to a fight over the gas, where the government at that time, in a very neoliberal government, in fact, the president, Ghani, was trained in New York, and you can see, if you ever see footage of him, he speaks, you know, he speaks English perfectly clearly with a thorough, so there's a very racist campaign really being run by the elite, and it cuts right across the fact that in Bolivia today, there is really a revival of indigenous pride. In fact, probably on a level never seen before in Bolivia, and this is sparking the same thing across Latin America. But this really is a situation where you have indigenous people for the first time, not just in the presidency, but taking posts in the ministries, in the state. The Minister for Justice is a former maid, and this is for the pride of indigenous people. This is quite astonishing. She was a maid. She used to work as a maid. Now she's a minister in the government. Now, of course, this hasn't resolved any of the fundamental problems in Bolivia, but what it has done is it's given confidence to the social movements, and there are real gains already associated, whether it be, you know, significant wage rises for the poor, whether it be the hopes that are just pinned in the Constituent Assembly, which the right wing are trying to stop and the elite are trying to stop, that this Constituent Assembly will create a new Bolivia and create the framework for a new Bolivia. Where for the first time it's really based on justice for indigenous people. And so it really is conceived of 500 years of genocide. For the first time they had a chance to reverse it.
Stuart, what are the plans with the possibility of the US destabilize this government based on a grassroots and indigenous movement? How real is the possibility that this kind of, you know, set up for a coup might actually occur?
I mean, that's, I guess in some ways that's one of the things that's very hard to judge. But there's two sides to it. The first side is what it is that the elite and imperialism are doing. And what seems obvious is, backed by this campaign of destabilization, a campaign of strikes and mobilizations, you know, against Morales and against the Constituent Assembly, and very consciously trying to create an economic crisis they're trying to blame Morales for. You know, so inflation starts to go up and all the rest of it, and they use their control over key sections of the economy to do that. One of the things, and Federico Fuentes, who is a Green Left Weekly journalist who has who runs the Bolivia Rising blog, which has a lot of information in English on this, his reporting is that there is a very strong influx of guns into Bolivia. So in some ways, it seems like the real threat here may not be a coup. It may be the laying of preparations for a civil war, where they attempt to use, you know, the base that the elite have in the east amongst the middle classes and sections of the white working class, and they use racism.
And which, as we know, is always an excuse for intervention.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Which is why the statement that Federico Fuentes and Bolivia Rising put out in solidarity with Bolivia, which has been signed by a number of people around the world, actually includes that we oppose any attempt to have a civil war or any US/UN occupation that follows that. So that's being explicitly acknowledged by those in solidarity with Bolivia as a real threat. But the other side of the question and the other side of the coin, which can't be left out, is that it's also going to be determined by what it is that the people themselves do and what it is that the poor, the indigenous, the campesinos do. And we're already, because that was obviously the determining factor in Venezuela. For all of imperialism's funding, for all of their great plans, at the end of the day, it was the Venezuelan poor in April 2002 when the coup happened that they stepped onto the stage in politics. In a way that they clearly the elite in Venezuela and in the U.S. State Department just didn't expect. They didn't see it coming. They thought this was their government. They were not going to let it be overthrown. And in their hundreds of thousands, in their millions, really, they came out into the streets and took the streets over and forced the return of Chavez. And so we're seeing in Bolivia, and it's very hard from afar to judge exactly which force will be stronger, but we are seeing that beginning to mobilize. We're seeing in Sucre, we saw campesinos, in the tens of thousands, they came down to Sucre and they marched through the streets and they had an assembly. In that assembly, the social movements met and they declared a state of emergency. They declared that they would defend the constituent assembly with their lives as necessary. And they came out with a series of quite radical plans for transforming basically the state in Bolivia to make it much more democratic and also to get control of the resources. They said that we need, to nationalize all the national resources. We need to elect all officials and have them recallable, a series of things. And we saw it in Cochabamba, which was the scene of the water wars, that has become a hotspot because there the prefect, who's a right-winger, effectively the governor, called for Morales' resignation, and they tried to strike. And the strike was only partially successful, but then it was answered. The campesinos from the surrounding areas marched into Cochabamba on September 13, and they held a mass peaceful celebration and demonstration in about 100,000 strong. And they basically took the town in a peaceful show of force.
Yep.
So that's also the other side of it. That's the other side, is that the stabilisation campaign is being answered.
Quite an interesting confrontation there, Stuart, because I remember from my own time in Bolivia that the grassroots, there was a very strong union movement in Bolivia that goes right back to the 50s, and it was always independent of the power plays in mainstream politics, and it's very much a grassroots.
No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.